Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. This thing should be dialing my guest, which is Patty Jake L. Hopefully she'll answer.
Hello?
Hello, Patty, this is Mac.
Hi, Mac.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. And
good.
You're here to talk to me, and I'm here to talk to you and anybody out there who's listening, right?
Correct. And you can hear me all right.
I can hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I always make sure, because that means that we're on the air, because if we can't hear each other, we're most likely not on the air. Okay, so I don't know that much about you, really. I do know that you're the unicorn grandma sock lady. So tell us all about that.
That's true, I am. And I figured that most people wouldn't know about me. A lot of the people you interview and you talk to have some kind of connection to television or to movies and everything. And the only connection I have to television or to movies is that I watch them. So let me tell the world a little bit about myself. I am a retired lady. I live in California. I have lived in California all my life. And it has its pluses and minuses. And, you know, we've learned to every year run from fires, which is not fun, but it's the way life is. And much of my career, I worked with special populations. And I spent a lot of my career working in corrections. And I've always worked with people and always tried to be there helping people. The one thing is, I am a Christian, and I believe in being the hands and feet of Jesus. So everything I've done has kind of been with the idea of helping people in Jesus' name. Now, you asked me about the Unicorn Grandma, and you're probably thinking, okay, she's told me everything, but Unicorn Grandma is what I do now in my retirement. It is actually a 501c3. It is a nonprofit, and it focuses on giving support, love, and encouragement to people going through difficult times. That's the larger part of it, the encompassing part of it. Mostly I focus on children battling cancer, and in even more narrow focus is many of the people I follow and assist and give encouragement to are children battling a particular cancer called DIPG. That stands for diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma. It's a brain stem cancer. Now, as I was thinking about this, I thought people hear the day after Christmas going, oh, well, that's so depressing. You know, children, brain cancer, this is terrible. But it's not. I do have a lot of fun doing this, and I do enjoy doing this. sorry, I have to clear my throat for a moment.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. You and other people are probably wondering how I started this and how I got the name. So I'm going to start with how I started this, and then I'll tell you how I got the name. About 8 years ago now, when my grandson moved to Santa Rosa, California, he was enrolled in a school, and they had a program where the sixth graders would provide a mentoring program for kindergartners. And so he would basically do projects with the kindergartner. They did crafts together. They did homework together sometimes. And the young man that my grandson was paired with was, he was a kindergartner. His name was Jesse. And in October of that year, he was diagnosed with DIPG. A brainstem cancer. Sadly, it is a terminal cancer. And sadly, kids survive basically about 9 months. And I learned about this on Facebook, and I'm kind of like, part of me is kind of like, oh, dear, you know, this is terrible. But I'm not one to just sit there and wring my hands and go, oh, dear, this is terrible. I'm an action person. And so what I started to do was send cards and letters to this young man and, you know, basically just, you know, brightening his day and stuff like this. And then when he passed away about 4 months later, I was kind of like, this is terrible. This can't be. I need to do something. Now, I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm not a neurosurgeon. I don't know how to fix brain cancer. I'm a retired woman. But I do like to send cards, and I do like to write letters of encouragement. So I connected on Facebook with friends who had friends. And isn't that the way Facebook works, though? Friends who have friends who have friends who have friends.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know. And one of my friends says, well, I know another woman. Her son had the same condition, and she's about to do a fun run. So would you like to help? So I did that. And we all know that on Facebook you can connect with anybody. And so I started connecting with people, and I started sending out cards and letters and just trying to brighten people's day. And I did that for quite a while. And the thing is, when I send these cards and letters out, I never forget a family. I have families from 2013 that I sent Christmas cards to this year. I try not to forget them. I try to always remember them. And again, as I mentioned, I'm a Christian. I also pray for them. So that's kind of how I got started, but you're probably still scratching your head going, you haven't explained how you're the unicorn grandma. I'll get to that. Basically, one of the little gals that I followed, that I connected with on Facebook, she was really, really, really into unicorns. And so one day I got on Facebook and I said, all right, everybody, I need unicorns. I want to send unicorns to this little gal. She was 4 years old. I want to send unicorns to this little gal in North Dakota. And send me your unicorns. And so friends sent me unicorns, and I bought unicorns. And so I shipped off this big box of unicorns to this little four-year-old. And the letter I got back was to Unicorn Grandma. And the name just kind of stuck. That I am unicorn. I am since, like I said, I've since become a charity, and I decided to go with that name and everything. And after being called Unicorn Grandma, I actually dyed my hair in rainbow colors. And as soon as this pandemic is over and I'm going to go out there and get my hair cut, I'm going to get it dyed again. But right now, sadly, my hairdresser was one of those poor souls who basically got stuck in this open, closed, closed, open. And sadly, she decided to hang it up and she retired. So I have to find another unicorn maker when this is all over. But, you know, I went whole hog with this. I did the hairstyle, and I actually, if this were a TV show, I would show you I have a giant unicorn head that I wear. Sometimes I will call my kids on FaceTime with this giant unicorn head, and I'll greet them. That's how I became the Unicorn Grandma, but people kind of liked it. I kind of ran with it. And I have several unicorn girls that are out there. And one little kind of funny story I'll share is I do, if I can financially swing it, I do go and visit some of them. And I went and visited the little gal in North Dakota. Her name was Skye. I visited her. I managed to visit her twice while she was alive. And I've since visited her family two more times. So if I can, I go and visit the families. Some of my followers have been so gracious to send me money for plane tickets. There was another gal I followed. Her name was Addie Mae, and I wanted to go see her. But again, DIPG is a terminal disease. So as I was getting ready, I realized that the tickets I had were not going to get me there in time. So one of my followers PayPal'd me the money, and I bought the tickets, and I went and visited sooner rather than later. What was funny about that visit was when I was there, the little girl couldn't talk anymore, but her brother, he actually really thought my name was Unicorn Grandma, and that's all he called me. I would be out in public with family, and I'd be in the store, and Unicorn Grandma, Unicorn Grandma, and I'm kind of like, that would be me, you know, and so I've had fun with it. I really enjoy it, and it's also, I'll be perfectly honest, it gets people's attention. I mean, when you're wearing a shirt that has a unicorn hood, or you're wearing unicorn socks or unicorn shirt that says Unicorn Grandma, you do get attention. So you're able to sell yourself, so to speak. By the way, anybody out there who's listening and is kind of intrigued by what I do, and I have a Facebook page. It is called Unicorn Grandma, the Sock Lady. And it tells about what I do. It shares about some of my people. It shares some of their stories. And again, it's a sad situation, but there's so much love that you don't get a chance to wallow in the sadness of it. Does that make sense to you, Mac?
Yeah. Oh, it totally does.
Yeah, you know, I just kind of like, I understand it, but I want to see if other people understand it too. So that's kind of like I said, a little bit about what I do and kind of how I got the first part of my name, Unicorn Grandma, and what I do. And, of course, I put that pitch out there for my Facebook page. I do encourage people to check on it, Unicorn Grandma, the Sock Lady, and it tells a lot about what I do. Flip side of it, you're going, okay, she told us all about Unicorn Grandma and some of what she does. The Sock Lady, that's the other half of it. And it has a little bit more of a history. As I mentioned earlier, I worked in corrections for a while, and corrections can also be kind of a dark and dreary place. Prison really can be, I mean, it can be just plain depressing sometimes. And I didn't work as a guard. I actually worked as a therapist, a recreation therapist. People who don't know that, it's basically using recreation as my modality to do therapy. Like a music therapist might use music as a modality. And a lot of people are familiar with music therapy or art therapy. I was a recreation therapist. And so it's a different approach than a guard might have with an inmate. And one of the things I wanted to do, it was a very little thing, but I figured in this dark and dreary world, I can at least bring a little humor and fun into a prison. So I would wear wild and crazy socks. And it got to the point that inmates in the prison, you know, they call me and, you know, Miss Jekyll, and I, yeah, what do you want? You know, this sort of thing. But they go, what socks are you wearing today? I mean, it would be something that, I mean, the littlest thing, but wearing socks would brighten their day. So I was already kind of a sock lady before I started doing this. But guess what? One of the things I send when I send to these kids, I often include socks and all sorts of different socks. I have socks with unicorns, socks with tacos, socks with rainbows. I have socks with, one of my favorite socks are the socks that have the rainbow colored poop. They're basically unicorn poop. I love those socks. There's a couple things about it. I mean, it's a little thing. It's socks, right? That's not that big a thing. But again, even with the kids I send them to, they're fun. I mean, they're harmless, but they're fun, you know. And kids I mean, I think most kids love wearing unicorn poop on their feet, you know, and adults like wearing unicorn poop. So it's another way to brighten the day, and it's a way to break the ice. I will send, get off my lap, cat. Sorry about that. I have somebody with fur and a tail who wants to be on the radio show, but he's not allowed. He has to dial in and do his own show, right? Right, Pearlie?
Yeah.
You have to, yeah. So that's where the sock lady part comes in that I send stuff out. I send cards and letters and stuff out. And it brightens people's day. And I have been very fortunate. Like I said, I'm retired. I'm a 501c3. I'm a nonprofit, but I'm not a big nonprofit. I'm not one of those people doing, you know, marathon, you know, fundraisers. I had actually hoped, in 2020 to do a little fundraiser, you know, have people come, you know, do a little gathering. I had actually hoped in 2020 to do like a little tea, you know, a unicorn tea and speak and have some of the mothers of the kids that I've worked with, you know, speak and everything. But that's maybe in 2021, hopefully. But so I don't bring in a lot of money, but I do full supporters. And I didn't realize till this year I have one faithful supporter who I realized every year she sends me a box of socks for Christmas, and I send out socks for Christmas. So, and I realized, you know, December rolled around and I got a package from her again, and the little light bulb went off, and I went, wait a minute, she sends these to me every Christmas. And so that's the way she supports me. I was actually very, very, very fortunate to get a donation from the company Socksmith. Even before I was a 501c3, they sent me a box of socks. And Socksmith is a good company. I mean, those are good quality socks. And one day I came home. It was actually probably only about, 2, 3, about a month after the 2017 fires. I live in Santa Rosa. I kept my house or lost her house. But, I mean, Santa Rosa was just permeated with this overwhelming, I guess, gloom because we just had this major fire. And it was funny. The first thing I saw when I saw this big, huge box of socks, I open it up, I look at it, and my neighbor said to me, do you know how long it's going to take to evacuate all those socks if we have another fire? And I agreed with her. That was the first thing we thought of. We get a big box of socks. The first thing we think of is, how long is it going to take to get these things in the car in case we have to evacuate? But so I've had donations of socks. Other people, because what I do, the other thing is, and I'll put it out there, anybody listening to me and decide that they think what I do is kind of cool and want to help me, is postage. Postage is a big thing. But that's the other thing. Occasionally I'll get, it was just one of the families. I had sent them some socks. That's all I did. I sent them some socks. They sent me back over $150 worth of postage of stamps.
Aww.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of like amazed. This is a funny thing, Mac, that I send out socks, you know, just socks. Socks and a card. I make a card and socks and everything. And people are really, it touches their heart. And so then they'll do something nice back to me, like send me postage or send me socks and everything. So it's really kind of a nice thing because I really see it kind of like, yes, I'm out there doing something nice, but it's kind of like one hand washes the other because people do something nice back to me. And kind of humorously, I've also developed a bit of a network. I'll give you kind of an example. There's a young man up in Anderson, California, and again, I find most of these families through Facebook. And he was really interesting. He is also battling DIPG. He was really interested in getting police patches. And the thing is, because of what I do, and I've been doing it since 2013. I became a charity in 2019. I became a charity in 2019, but I've been doing this for about 7 years. But anyway, as I'm, you know, reading this and everything, I'm not a police officer. I don't have police patches, but I knew a police officer, contacted him, got the police patches sent to him, found another police officer through what I do, got the police patches sent to him. So that's the other exciting part of it is, you know, having a network out there. It's not just me. It's other people out there. And we do this and we share and we spread love to kids battling cancer. I do want to take a moment, just a moment, to kind of share. I mentioned DIPG, and I've mentioned it a couple of times, and I want to share a little bit about what it is. Most people don't know a lot about DIPG. As I said before, it's a diffuse intrinsic pontine glioma. The pontine is the pons, which is the brainstem of the brain, and it's a tumor that kind of it kind of fingers itself, and it kind of it's not easily cut out. It kind of infiltrates into the brainstem, and you can't take it out. And the only way you can buy time. Kids generally have 30 sessions of radiation, and it buys them time. And during that time, this is when you'll hear about, you know, these kids, they'll do the Make-A-Wish. They'll make the trips and all this sort of stuff. So you buy time, but unfortunately, there is not a cure for DIPG. You frequently interview people, celebrities, such and that. So I'm going to do one little bit of name dropping because I'm not famous, but I know famous people, but I'm not famous. A lot of people don't know this. Excuse me. Neil Armstrong, you know, the guy who walked on the moon?
Yes.
And it was in the movies about him. His daughter, Karen, she had a nickname of Muffy. She died in 1962. She died of DIPG. She died of a brain tumor. And the treatment that Muffy, Karen, had was radiation. And basically, the radiation, what it did was it bought time for her. And this was in 1962. In 2020, if a child is diagnosed with DIPG, basically they'll do radiation, they'll buy time for the child, and then basically that's it. So it's frustrating because, and I don't, you know, this is holiday season, so I'm not going to dwell on it a lot, but I do want to put it out there and share with people. It's frustrating because it's the same treatment 60 years later. It's the same treatment, and it's, you know, with the same result, you know. So that goes back to what I do, and again, not being a real Debbie Downer, although it is difficult. It's very difficult. This past couple of weeks, the DIPG community lost several children and everything. But there's so much love. There is so much love in this community. And I enjoy being a part of this community. It's interesting, as I mentioned, that there's so much love in this community and everything. I'm going to go back to, we are in a holiday season, and so much of the holiday season is giving to other people. And so that's kind of what I felt that I've been doing, is I give to other people. But it's been a fun journey. It's been a hard journey. I've said goodbye to a lot of little kids. I've been to little kids' funerals, which can be quite disheartening, but I've been loved by a lot of little kids. I mentioned Sky, the gal in North Dakota, who named me Unicorn Grandma. Oh, I do have to share the story about her. Folks who are listening, this is kind of the way I am, that you probably think I'm a little bit ADHD, and I probably am. I'll start on one thing, and then my brain will kind of jump the track and we'll go on someplace else. Hopefully you can follow me. If not, you can, you know, listen to it again, and maybe you'll follow me the second time. But I have to share the story about Sky. I really do. In 2017, I had an opportunity to go see her in Minnesota at the Minnesota hospital. But just before the trip, I had tweaked something in my back, and I could barely walk. I walked with a cane. I mean, just walking was like almost impossible. Well, this little gal, because of the brain tumor she had, she couldn't walk either. She could barely walk. You know, she could barely walk at all and everything. But at one point, I was down on the floor playing with this gal, and I had to get up, and I realized I couldn't really. So I'm kind of hanging on to furniture, trying to pull myself up into a standing position, and this little four-year-old girl can't walk. She really can't. She crawls over to me and offers me her hand to help me get up. This four-year-old who can't walk. And it's memories like that that keep me going. Not right now, Kat. I'll feed you when I'm done. Come on up here. The annoying intruder in our little live show is, his name is Curly. And if any of you have cats, you're totally familiar with the fact that if you're talking into the phone, the cat thinks you're talking to them, which is exactly what. So I've been able, as Unicorn Grandma, I have traveled. And, I have to say this, 2020 has been so hard on me and other people who do stuff like this, because travel is severely limited, and justifiably so. Hospitals are not letting people, you know, like us, come in. I have a friend, his name is Ricky Minna. I sure hope I pronounced that right, Ricky. Ricky Minna, he is, he dresses up as Spider-Man. He has an organization called Heart of a Hero, and that's kind of like what he does. He goes to hospitals. He dresses up as Spider-Man and everything, and he has been, because of the pandemic, unable to do that, and it's been really, really hard on him. It's hard when you can't go visit the people. You know, you do it online, but FaceTime is not quite the same. It's really not.
Right, yeah.
But in my years as Unicorn Grandma, I've been really, really fortunate. I've done quite a bit of traveling. I went to North Dakota. Now, okay, North Dakota has some interesting stuff. I'll have to give it that, because I don't want North Dakota's, you know, tourism industry to get on my case or anything. But I was able to visit North Dakota. They've got, Bismarck's got a nice zoo and some other stuff. So I was able to go to North Dakota. What's funny is when I traveled to Minneapolis, because I was there to visit Sky and another little gal who was basically getting treatment in Minneapolis about the same time, and so I visited both these children. I had been to Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the only thing I saw in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was the children's hospital and the nearest Target. I was there for 4 days, and I still have no idea what else is in Minneapolis besides Target and the Children's Hospital. You know, I was able to travel there and everything. I've traveled to South Carolina, and I visited a family there. And some of this I pay for myself, but some of these trips, my people, I call them my people. Makes me sound almost like royalty, doesn't it, my people? But my people, my followers, I mean, as I said that, I thought, oh, it does make me sound kind of like royalty. Maybe I should add that, you know, Her Highness Unicorn Grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, I should add that to my name. But people have donated so that I could fly to these various different places and everything. Louisiana. And this is one thing I'm going to share. And if anybody's really like interested or knowledgeable about environment, and now most scientists do not feel there is an environmental component in DIPG. By the way, just a little more information about DIPG. It basically affects children from the ages of 3 to about 10. That's the bulk of it, but it can go. There have been children. I know one child that I follow. He's 4 years old now. He's a miracle child. He was born. He was born with DIPG. He's a miracle child. There's a few instances of it's almost like DIPG shows itself and then like freezes and slumbers. And there's a couple of families that are out there. Their children have these tumors, but the tumors stop growing. They like freeze. And one of the children who did this is he's 4 years old. He'll be 5 next year. And he's basically, his tumor's like frozen and everything. But basically what I was going to say, it's a childhood tumor, usually. It goes from, I mean, like I said, this one child was born with it. There's some early adulthood. That's generally the gist of it. If anybody remembers, about 4 years ago, a gal named Lauren Hill, do you by chance remember that, Mac? A basketball player, her name? Lauren Hill?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, she had DIPG. She was her late teens, I think 18 or 19 or whatever, but her condition, that was DIPG. So she was one of those on the outer age range of kids who get DIPG. I do this every once in a while. Now I forgot what I was talking about, but that was a little bit about DIPG and a little history. Oh, I do remember what I wanted to say. It's just considered to be an unfortunate situation. There's not a genetic component. There doesn't appear to be an environmental component. However, this is something, my personal opinion. I do have to say there are many cases in Louisiana. There's a lot of cases in Louisiana. And this is just me, my personal questioning, so to speak. I wonder sometimes if environmentally, because of, the oil spill that was there in the Gulf, and oil is a lot of the industry there and everything. I wonder sometimes. But anyway, what I was going to say is there was a lot of DIPG in Louisiana. But because of that, I've been fortunate enough to visit Louisiana. I've got a number of families that are very supportive, and it's actually on my bucket list. When this pandemic is over, it's on my bucket list. My hope is actually when all this is over, when we've got vaccines and we're out there and traveling again and everything, this is actually on my bucket list, so to speak, is get in my car and do a road trip, and eventually, basically from California all the way to Florida. If it's a DIPG family I can go visit, I'm going to go do that, because speaking to them on the phone, I love FaceTiming them. I love sending them information. But I also do, and I do miss this, seeing them in person. So, that's kind of like, I've done a lot of the talking. That's kind of like the overall gist of what I do. And I've shared kind of like what some other people do. And it sounds like a sad thing, but it's not. But if you, Mac, have any questions, because like I said, I've kind of talked your ear off. If you have any questions or something you want to clarify, something I've said, do you have any questions? I mean, I kind of told you, I can talk your ear off, but do you have any questions?
Well, actually, the show is about you, so if you want to keep talking, you keep talking. But you did mention a little while ago on Facebook about how you were making birthday cards. So if you want to, you can talk about that now.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, this is kind of interesting. people have probably seen on Facebook the joke of about how you spend like $100 in craft supplies so you can save money, you know, to make $2 worth of birthday cards or whatever. It's totally true. At one point, I used to buy cards, and then I'm kind of like, well, I can probably save money by making cards. First off, wrong. You will not save money by making your own cards. You will end up having your own special rewards card at Michael's. You will have your own special rewards card at Joann's. And you will, if you're in the area and there's a Hobby Lobby, you'll know where everything is at Hobby Lobby. With the pandemic, you now know how to, you know, click on things for Michael's, Joann's on Amazon, and you buy craft supplies. I actually, like I said, I used to buy cards, but initially I thought I would save money, but I don't think I've really saved money and everything. But there's more of a personal touch when you actually make the card. I do write poetry, so I'm able to write poetry and everything. And I think that some of my followers, some of the people I've been in connection with over the years, has probably seen, I've grown in what I do. I mean, my cards are by no means Hallmark cards. They're not worthy of selling online or anything, but they've improved that they look pretty nice. You know, initially when I look back at some of the first cards I made, and I'm kind of like, oh my God, did I send those out to people? You know, but I've improved. And I do actually, I make cards. I mentioned birthday cards. I have a list. I have what I call it the big book. And I keep track as best I can. I do forget. I am a retired person, so I forget sometimes. But I send out birthday cards to the children who are battling DIPG, to their siblings who are battling, it's not just the child that battles cancer. In any family, if you're battling cancer or battling a serious disease, it's not just the child, it's the entire family. So basically when I send out birthday cards, I will send out birthday cards to the mother, the father, the siblings, and the child. I also try to honor the birthdays of kids who have passed away. I call them birthdays in heaven. And I send cards specifically to that need. Again, I mentioned a little while ago, I write poetry. So I will write a poem. And the interesting thing is I update every year. You know, it's like a new car model. I have a new card model. And every year I come up with a new but I honor the birthdays, and then I also take a moment to honor the day that a child passes. Because the truth is, you know, when your child passes, you still remember the date. There was one mother who, her child battled DIPG in the 70s. And this was before Facebook, and this was before anything. But she would send cards and letters out to other DIPG families, again, before Facebook. This is what she did. Her child lived in the 70s, but passed away, I do believe, in 1978. And every year when the anniversary of this child's death rolls around, she still remembers it. It still is a day that she pauses and remembers and thinks about what her child could have been. So I try to honor those days. I will honor the day a child passes away, and I make the cards. They're okay. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not giving Hallmark a run for their money or anything. but I throw a little, I put a poem in there. And again, like I mentioned, Joann's, Michael's, whatever. I've improved over the years, and a little personal touch and everything. And then I have two major mailings a year. Christmas, of course. And I have a log. I have to have a log of who I've sent to and who I haven't sent to, because one year before I started writing the log of who I sent to, I get these texts, these messages back, and this one mother goes, you sent my daughter 2 birthday cards and 2 gift cards. Do we get to keep them both? And I'm kind of like, yeah, sure, whatever. But since then, I keep a log so I know who I've sent to and I know how many I sent. And December 2020, I sent out 250 Christmas cards. And
wow.
I made them. And, yeah, so that's one of my major mailings and everything. So that's a major mailing. And then the other major mailing I have, and this is the one of the things I'm most proud of, I might say, is Mother's Day. I send out Mother's Day cards. And in 2020, I'd have to look at my log and everything, but I do believe I sent out 120 Mother's Day cards, and I make them. So this is part of my project, and yes, I could probably go out and buy cards, but my turn to talk, you silly animal. But
I hear.
Yeah, well, have you heard him in the background? He's kind of like, it's my turn, not
yeah.
your turn. It has more of the personal touch. And I noticed, like, actually, before we were, you know, getting, we were going to do this, I did see that you looked at some of my, you apparently visited Unicorn Grandma's page, and you saw some stuff, and hopefully you got a chance to look at it and see. I really have to say that my Mother's Day mailing is one of my biggest sources of pride. It's just something... a Mother's Day, when the person who made you a mother has passed away, has left, you know, you're still a mother. And
right.
to, I really think people should still honor that mother. And so I try to send out a card and everything. I do that every year. And I'm a little bit of a procrastinator, but I try generally, even right now, it's December 26th, it's day after Christmas, Boxing Day, St. Stephen's Day, start of Kwanzaa. But even now, in my brain, I'm starting to kind of think exactly, now, what am I going to do for Mother's Day? How am I going to do this? And this is kind of funny. I make this stuff myself. And every year I tell myself, make it simple, because you have to make like 100 of these things. And every year I'll go, oh, yeah, but I'll add this. And every year it gets more and more complex. It drives me nuts. But it's a labor of love. And I think the families that I send these cards and letters to, I think they know it's a labor of love. Now, speaking of labors of love, I'm going to share something else, which is the labors of love that these families do. These families, their kids pass away, and like I mentioned earlier, that the treatment is still the same as it was 60 years ago. Sadly, research money is not children with cancer. Breast cancer, it gets boatloads of money because it's out there, because it has a good campaign program. And it, you know, they get a lot of money. A lot of people don't want to donate to children's cancers, largely because it makes them sad. They don't want to talk about it, which is a shame.
Right.
Because when a person dies of cancer, cancer is largely pretty much an old person's disease. It really is. It's the body is starting to fall apart, and it's starting to send mixed messages, and that's where the cells go haywire. If you've got a 66-year-old woman who has passed away, she's lost maybe 20, 30 years of life. You know, she could have lived to 90, but she passes away at 66. If you've got a child at age 6, maybe, who passes away from cancer, that child has probably lost 70 or 80 years of life. So you're losing
yeah.
a lot more life. but people don't like talking about childhood cancer, and so they shy away from it. And even when I started this, talking on this program and everything, I says, well, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but the reality is that there is not a lot of money for research. So if anybody's listening and you want to think of a year-end donation to, you know, a year-end donation in regards to childhood cancer, specifically because my interest is the IBG, but a childhood cancer, think about donating. There are many of them out there. You can go on Facebook. You can come to Unicorn Grandma. You can ask me questions. I will give you links. I'm going to give you a couple of names right now. You can look it up. Go on Facebook. There's a group out of Gilroy. It's called Unravel. They're working on research to try and find cures for childhood cancer. There's another one called the Michael Mosier Foundation. Same thing. They're working on research to find cures for cancer. Lauren Hill, the basketball player, talks about. She is involved with an organization called The Cure Starts Now. Same thing. Let's find a cure. So I'll kind of put it out there. Labors of love, donating, because it's important. And we're getting towards the end of the year. People want to do charitable donations. I got to put it out there. I have to. It's what interests me and everything. But the other labor of love I want to share is families of children with DIPG. One of the biggest labors of love, and I've seen it a lot of times and everything, is they donate their child's tumor. They donate their child's tumor to researchers. And the researchers keep those cells, and they run experiments on them, and they're looking for new ways to battle this cancer. And I do have to do a little bit of a shout-out for one of the researchers. Her name is Michelle Mongi out of Stanford. I have seen her with these tumor cells, and it's awesome to watch. She treats. Yeah, you know, you look at them and it's a petri dish. It's just cells. But she treats those cells with the respect they deserve. She will bring them out. She will say, this is a cell line from Katie. And she'll say, and this is, you know, this was donated. This is what we're doing with these cell lines. And she treats them with such dignity and such respect. And that being said, out of Stanford, Lucille Packard Children's Hospital is another great place to donate your money. If you have questions, you know, people listening, if you have questions, you're interested in that, you can contact Unicorn Grandma, the sock lady on Facebook. I can give you more information about that. Lucille Packard Children's Hospital, they do great research. Other places do great research too. It's just that Stanford came to the top of my head immediately. Unravel out of Gilroy, Michael Mosier Foundation back east. And these families, these things have grown out of DIPG and out of trying to find a cure for it. But I did want to share that labor of love to donate their child's tumor. I'm going to drop one more famous name here, and I'm looking at the time and everything. So I told you I could talk for an hour about anything. You didn't believe me, did you? Okay. One more name dropping here. George H.W. Bush. There's two connections I have with George H.W. Bush, actually. One of them is George H.W. Bush was a sock aficionado. He loved socks. He had great socks. You know, he wore socks and everything. And that's something we have in common. We love wearing wild and crazy socks. The other thing is George and Barbara Bush's daughter, Robin, she passed away from leukemia back in the, I'd have to check, I believe it was the 50s, might have been the 60s, but I believe it was the 50s. And Robin passed away from leukemia back when leukemia was like a death sentence. And they donated their daughter's body for research. And it's through research, through Robin's treatment and after the donating of her body for research, that many things were learned. And now basically leukemia is, while it's a terrible, terrible, terrible disease, it is much more survivable. than it was back when Robin Bush existed. And it's because of these donations, because of the love that the parents have, that progress is made. And so I decided, because I remembered that, I decided I'd drop that name too. So I managed to drop two famous names, Neil Armstrong and George H.W. Bush, and his love for socks too. So that's kind of like my life in a nutshell. You know, I hope that people have listened to this. I hope that I've taught new people about the IPG. And there are other childhood cancers. I don't, you know, I don't screen people and, you know, oh, you're not DIPG and, you know, toss them aside and everything. Other cancers, other kids that have followed, leukemia, several brain cancers. And, you know, sometimes I just, the people I connect with, there's this one gal, I call her my, I call her my new sock buddy. I had a sock buddy who I would buy, every time I'd buy a pair of socks for me, I'd buy a pair of socks for her. Her name was Katie. She lived in 2016. She battled in 2016. I was able to meet her. It was so exciting and everything. But she passed away, and I didn't have a sock buddy. But finally, I found another sock buddy who has the same love and affection for socks, and she just has a lot of health problems. She doesn't have cancer. You know, she's going to be around for quite a while, just battling a lot of health problems. So, but she likes socks, and she likes the socks I send her and everything. So basically, I've developed a sock buddy again, and it's kind of nice just to have, because basically what I'm going to do is every time I buy a pair of socks for me, I'm going to buy a pair of socks for her. I mentioned a lot of socks, and interesting, I have a lot of socks. I love socks, and I had some donated. But I would have to say that right now in my house, I probably have close to 1,000 pairs of socks. You know, so that's quite a bit of socks. And living in Santa Rosa, I do have to remember, and actually when we get the Nixle warnings about the fire, because actually in September – my house was in one of the fire zones, and I actually stepped outside, and I actually said, oh, my God, because the fire was like half a mile away. And I'm kind of like gathering up everything. My grandson was with me at the time. And the other thing is I said, don't forget the socks. Don't forget the socks. And we managed to load, you know, along with the computer, his keyboard, his stuff and everything, my, you know, some clothes, stuff like that. We loaded as many socks as we could in there because, you know, we didn't want to risk losing them and everything because socks are important. So that was just kind of like my little story about I always try to rescue them. And I would have to say probably right now at this point in time, I have probably 1,000 pair of socks. But if anybody's out there and they want to donate socks to me, I will not stop you. You can donate socks. I can always use socks. The other thing is, and again, Unicorn Grandma on Facebook, Unicorn Grandma, the sock lady, contact me, message me. I would love to hear from you and everything. I do, postage is always needed, and I share. There are other people out there who do the same thing I do, who send cards and letters and everything, and I make sure that I share the wealth, and I help them with that, because it's just... it's fun, but it also gives so many rewards. Any other questions? I know we're kind of getting to the end of the hour, and I did talk your ear off, but any other questions you might have?
You know, I may not sound like a very good host, but I don't think so, because you basically have gone over everything. So actually, that makes you a good guest because you left me with no questions.
Well, but that's good, and I hope I shared a lot, and I hope, like I said, it wasn't like a Debbie Downer. I shared a lot. It's a hopeful thing. It's a good thing. I do hope if people are listening, they do check me out. They you know, ask me questions. I will answer questions. I can connect you with some of these agencies, and just. The other thing is, and I'm looking at the time, we are kind of running towards the end of the hour and everything. I do want to wish anybody who's listening, I want to wish you a wonderful holiday season. I hope that people are finding joy, even in this difficult time. You know, you can find joy if you look for it. And so that's actually probably going to be like my parting words, is I hope that everybody is able to find joy, whatever it might be.
Well, that's something nice to say.
Yeah, you know, I think you can find joy somehow. I find joy in unicorns and socks. And, you know, that's where I get my joy. And we can all hope that 2021 turns out to be a better year than 2020, because it really did kind of suck, I have
yeah.
to say. Because in amongst all this, I managed to fall and break my hip this year, too. So that was fun.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I still managed to get out all my Mother's Day cards, so I was happy about that. I will have to say, thank you for calling me. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, Mac. And I hope that people who listen, I hope that you enjoyed my talk. And I hope you take a moment to look and see where you can give, whether it's to children's cancer charities, adult cancer charities, environmental. But we're getting towards the end of the year. Donate somewhere. If you got money, donate. Oh, food banks. That would be a great thing. People are battling. They need money. They need food. You know, just, you know, donate somewhere, anywhere.
Right.
With that, I will bid you adieu. Can we can wrap it up here if you want. And thank you again for the opportunity. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you to my listeners. My guest has been Patty Jagel, a very interesting lady. And make sure you check out her page on Facebook called Unicorn Grandma, the Sock Lady. And you can find out how to donate, maybe send her some socks. And thank you very much, Patty, for being on the show. And stay safe. And have a good night. And goodbye.
And Happy New Year. Take care.
Oh, thank you. Same to you. Bye.
Bye.